Today's daf in Masechet Chumin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Dalet. We're holding at the new perek Kol HaBasar, starting on daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beit. So remember that the Torah repeats the Isser of Lotav Asher Gedi B'Chalev Imo three times, and that there's all types of things that we learn from here, but basically we know that there are three different Isuri. There's the Isser of Bishul Basar B'Chalev, which is the simple meaning of it, lo tevashel. And then there's the Isser of Achila, of that which was Mevushal. Remember that. There's no Isser of eating meat and milk together whatsoever. There's only an Isser of eating meat and milk that were cooked together. And then the extra one is to tell me that there's also an Isser Hana'ah. That's the most basic name. But now the question is, since the Torah refers to specifically the mother, the Chalev Imo, does it actually mean it's sort of like a din of Shibuach HaKein or Otoved Beno? Or over there, the actual specific relationship between mother and child is definitive of the Yisr. When it says Lotav Asher V'Dipa Chalev Imo, does it mean the same thing? And that this is a way in which to avoid a sense of cruelty to mother and child together? Or is this a general concept of the material of Basar V'Cholev? Well, as you know from the practical halacha, clearly we don't view it only as an Isser. It has to do with its own mother, but we'd have to see why, because that in no way is self-evident, right? It's, after all, it's one of three types of Isurim that have to do with this idea. One could argue that even Shivat Yamim Tia Tachat Imo, in terms of Mechutzer Zman, for Karchim also relates to this general set of ideas of child, mother, and child relationship. So let's take a look and try to see where it is that we come off with these new ideas. And of course, the question is, when it says a mother, it should at least mean, even if it doesn't mean its personal mother, it should mean at least it has a mother. Well, what about things that don't even have a mother? What do you do about that? Birds, they don't have mothers in the sense of mother that could possibly have mother's milk. So birds should ostensibly not be included at all, for sure, right? And yet, our Mishnah begins with Kol HaBasar Asur Vashel Bechalav, any type of meat, chutz, now you would think, chutz mi ofot, but it doesn't say that. It says only chutz mi psar dagim v'chagavim. The only thing that's not included is fish, and the grasshoppers and locusts of the kosher chagavim type. Not only do we not allow you to cook them in chalav, why, you cannot even bring them up on a table where there is a milchix. So asur l'ha'alot imagrina l'ashulchan, you cannot even bring up those types of meats on the table. Chutz mipsar dagim v'chagavim, all types are asur, even the ofot, apparently, which is really interesting, because that seems to mean if we're ready to be that careful about chicken on the table, then it must mean that that is an actual Isser D'oraita. I mean, because, you know, to say you're not allowed to eat it, I could hear that as a drabanan extension, but to say to go so far as not even to bring it up on the same table, that seems to indicate that it's a primary Isser of Basar V'Cholev and not an extended Isser D'Rabbanan. That's certainly the first take I think anybody would have on the Mishnah, and therefore it is indeed the first take of our very own Gemara, which assumes exactly the same thing. Hanoder min HaBasar, now there's another issue that you would think would be unassociated with the question of Basar V'Cholev, and yet it does have some general relationship, because strangely enough, the chicken meat issue is the same here. When somebody who takes a netter upon himself not to eat meat, so he's now going to be what, a vegetarian? Does he eat chicken? Well, not as vegetarian. Well, how about fish? Well, maybe. So here the halacha is that normally when we talk about the dinim of nedarim, the general rule is b'nedarim halech achar lashon b'nei adam. Always take a look at what the vernacular is. How do people refer to things? And when somebody says, I swear off meat, he is allowed to eat dogim and chagavim and not chicken. Exactly the same as the issue that we spoke about earlier about Bais HaMikdash itself. Is that just like a strange coincidence? Let's take a look at this. So again, our first take when reading this Mishnah is that Oph is included in Basar, and we really mean it. In other words, it's not just an extension of Rabbanan. We seem to be insisting that Oph is an Isser Dioraita because, I mean, the whole, as we saw, the whole flow of the Mishnah, and we're going to actually address it directly in a moment, like, why are we led to that conclusion that it's a Dioraita, not only Rabbana, but seems to be a Dioraita. Now, who would that be going according to? Because later on, there's a Machlokas in which Rabbi Akiva, he says that it's only a Rabbana. D'i Rabbi Akiva, if you think that this is going like Rabbi Akiva, why Rabbi Akiva says beferish later on in the next Mishnah that Chaya v'Ofe nomen Torah, that the din of meat and milk is only said on actual beef, meat, or lamb, and it's not referring even to venison or any type of chaya, and it's certainly not referring to chicken. And how come all of a sudden the Mishnah is just ignoring Rabbi Akiva? But the problem is that the Mishnah does seem to be going like Rabbi Akiva if you read the rest of the Mishnah. Ema Seifa. Hanoder min habasar mutar bivsar dagim v'chagavim. Now, obviously, this is not directly connected. Somebody who takes a neder, the nedarim are defined not by Mishnayos, the nedarim are defined by the way people refer to things. So the question is, who is the man d'omar that views the reference to things that people will take in the broadest possible view? Because, I mean, look, if somebody asks for meat, you don't give them chicken. So, I mean, in what sense do we include chicken in this concept of meat for Nedarim, but we don't include fish? I mean, somebody's asking for meat, you will not give him chicken or fish. But the difference is, you will offer him chicken. And that question is an actual machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. And according to Rabbi Akiva, if you will offer someone something, which is definitely not the same thing, but still it's close enough that you feel you need to make the offer, that itself is an indication of a broad envelope of meaning, which could conceivably, when somebody says, get me some meat at the butcher, could conceivably include chicken. And therefore, if the butcher didn't have any meat, you would call up the guy and say, there's no meat, but there's chicken. Should I get the chicken? But you certainly wouldn't say, there's no meat, but there's fish. I mean, the guy's not interested in fish. So that's the difference. And let's take a look at Rabbi Akiva in the light of that Mishnah. Ema Seifa. Hanoder min habasar mutar pipsar tagim v'chagavim. Now, who is that man d'omar who is saying that if you swear off meat, you're not allowed to eat chicken? All it says over here is you are allowed to eat the meat of fish, which is not called meat in normal language. But that means that chicken would be usher. Any kind of bird flesh would be usher. That is dafka, Rabbi Akiva. Why do I say that? Because there's a Gavi rule. Gavi's a little bit tarud this morning. But there is a Gavi rule, which is, kol mili dimim lachalesh liach bar minehu. Anything that you have to consult with the person who told you or asked you to do something for him, the consultation requirement itself is indicative of its being within the general realm of what the tzivui was. If somebody sent you to the butcher shop, there's no meat, he sent you to buy meat, you will call him to ask whether he would like chicken instead. But you will not call him to ask whether he needs fish. And that is Rabbi Akiva's rule. If you need to go back to consult, then it must be that you are thinking that he might have meant that too. And that's an indication that it's the general envelope of meaning that would include meat and chicken. And therefore, it's bar mineh. Where do we find that? That's the Mishnah in the Nedarim. Somebody makes a neder. And he is not going to eat veggies. He uses the word yerek. Now, yerek, of course, in Lashon HaKodesh has the actual meaning of green. You know, so if he is talking about not eating green vegetables, then he is allowed to eat pumpkin. So he's mutar bedului, and he'd be allowed to eat any type of gourd. So he could eat pumpkins or gourds or anything in that family, because people don't usually call that yerek. But Rabbi Akiva says, you can't do that. Amru lo Rabbi Akiva, well, how do you say such a thing? If a guy tells a man, go to the store and buy me veggies, and he's going to come back or call him up and he'll say, there's no veggies, there's only pumpkins. So what does that mean? Doesn't that mean that these are not veggies? I mean, ask anybody. They're not going to go buy veggies, buy pumpkins when they were told to buy veggies. No, not one person here would do a thing like that. Says Rabbi Akiva, you're absolutely right. That's what they would do. They would come back and they would say, there's only pumpkins. But did you ever hear them say, there's only sport cars? No. Did you ever hear them say, there's only bread? No. Why? Well, because it's ridiculous. That's why. So obviously, pumpkins are at least in need of consultation. And therefore, Kena Davar, says Rabbi Akiva, that's exactly the point. Klum Omer lo matzati ala kitnit. What would he say? Well, I couldn't find any veggies, but I found hummus. No, you would never say that. And therefore, that's the point, that the luim are indeed bichlal yerek, but kitnit are not bichlal yerek. So in the broadest sense of the term, people will understand that you could conceivably mean pumpkin, and therefore you're going to ask, but you're not going to ask about chumus, because you would not conceivably mean chumus if you said veggies. That's the point. So now we got a serious problem here, because the beginning of the Mishnah seems to very clearly say that it is not going like Rabbi Akiva. Because the beginning of the Mishnah says, chicken is meat. That's not like Rabbi Akiva. He holds that chicken is only osur min rabbanan, and the Mishnah implies that it's osur even min d'oraisa. And we'll look into that in a minute. Why are we so certain that the Mishnah actually means that it's a d'oraisa? So how are we supposed to understand this Mishnah? That the first part of the Mishnah is Dafka, not Rabbi Akiva, and the second part of the Mishnah that talks about referencing pumpkins as veggies is Dafka Rabbi Akiva. I mean, we don't usually have Mishnahs like that. Says Rabbi Yosef, you're absolutely right. It is a contradiction. But the Mishnah, after all, was set down by Rebbe, and there were times when Rabbeinu HaKadosh determined his personal opinion about the different machlokas, and he would set up a Mishnah that reflected his opinion. So the Mishnah is going on Libet Rebbe, and in fact, when he set up this Mishnah, he did the Reisha, which was like the Rabbanan, and the Sefer was like Rebbe Akiva. But that's because when it came to the Din of Nedarim, he paskened like Rabbi Akiva, that we go according to the broad definition of the term. But when it came to the Din of Basur B'Cholov, there Rabbi paskened like the Rabbanan, and that he held that indeed chicken and meat are the same, and they're not the Rabbanan. So that would be one approach. Another approach is Ravashi. Ravashi said, I would actually say we could say the whole thing is like Rabbi Akiva, and we don't have to necessarily say that the first part of the Mishnah meant D'oraita. Maybe when the Mishnah says that any type of meat or chicken is usher, it didn't mean they're usher in the same way. It meant it's usher. Mehem mi divrei Torah, umehem mi divrei Sofrim. We were just saying it's usher. I didn't tell you whether it's a D'oraita or it's a drabonan. So what made you think that it's dafka not like Rabbi Akiva? The only ones that are not included in either a drabonan or a diuraita is chutz mibsar dagim v'chagavim. Where over there, you don't have an iser diuraita, and you do not even have an extension of drabonan. I mean, that's a reasonable way to read the Mishnah. why exactly is everybody so clear that doesn't make sense? Well, read the next piece of the Mishnah, and you'll see why it's so clear that it doesn't seem to make sense. Because the question over here is, the next piece of the Mishnah, the very next piece says, Asur lahalot imagrina ala shulchan. You can't put it even on the same table. Now, let me ask you something. If oath is only a drabbana, don't you think it's going a bit too far to say that something that even if you ate it would not be usher, not midiraisa? So the rabbi made a gezera. So now we're going to go so far as to say because of that gezera, you can't even put it on the same table? Omar of Yosef, in fact, those words that usher lahalotim akmina la shulchan, that's what makes it clear that this Mishnah maintains that Bisar of Bechalav has got to be a deraita, because otherwise we wouldn't go so far. Because Isal Kadat Drabanan, if you hold that the Isar of Of Bechalav is only an extension Drabanan, so if the Achila itself is only a Gezerah Drabanan, would we go ahead and make a gezera of Ha'Allah? Because maybe if you put it on the same table, maybe you'll come to eat it. But even if you ate it, it would be a drabbana. That's called a gezera le gezera. We're not going to make one gezera on something which is itself a gezera, would we? And therefore, we were right in saying that it must be that the Mishnah holds, it's a deraisa, and it's not like Rabbi Akiva. Now, I want to prove to you that this is not my sense of it. Why would we go so far? This is a din. It's a din that we don't make that type of far-fetched gezeiras to extend an issur d'rabbanan to that extent. Let me prove it to you. Umina tamra. Now, this is another Gavi rule who seems to be otherwise entertained, but he should make sure to write down lo gazrina gezeira le gezeira. But how do we know that? Well, if you take a look in the Mishnah in Masechet Chalat, it says over there, among other things, but in short, it says over there, Chalat chutz la'aretz. Somebody's got chala in chutz la'aretz where the Rabbanan extended the dinim of chala in certain places near Eretz Yisrael to make it a chiyuv d'rabbanan to take off chala. So if you have that challah, it doesn't have the same chumrah, that normal challah. Of course, as you know, challah is called reshit, and therefore it has the same din as truma. And in Eretz Yisrael, where the challah is d'oraita, we're very makpid to make sure that a zar shouldn't accidentally eat challah, because after all, eating truma b'shogeg is a very chomor thing, and it's the Torah has a specific penalties that you have to pay, and if you do it on purpose, it would be a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim, very chomor. But when it comes to a chutz la'aretz challah, we were very mako, and we said you could bring up that challah onto the table where a czar is eating with you, which normally in Eretz Yisrael you would not be allowed to do, and you don't have to worry about the fact that the czar may take a bite of your challah. And not only that, you can give that challah to any kohen that you like. Now, normally, you can only give challah specifically to a kohen who is makbid on the dinim of challah and understands that truma has to be eaten b'tahara, he knows the dinim of tahara, and so on. And that is actually a remez that we find in Divrei HaYomim, where they were mechazek, this was Chizkiyo, who went out to be mechazek, the dinim of the Torah to Klal Yisrael. But one of the things that it says there is, Vayomer la'am le'yoshvei Yerushalayim, l'teit minat ha'kohanim v'alviim, l'man yechizku b'torat Hashem. Give the Levim and the Kohanim what they are supposed to get, the Trumas and the Maisras, so that they should be mitchazek in Torah Hashem. Now, that means if you're going to give it to somebody who's not Maharet and has no intention of learning the minutia of the different dinim of challah and truma and tuma v'taira, you're not allowed to give it to him. So that indeed is true on what Chizkiyahu was referring to, which was the Chala D'Oraita or Truma D'Oraita. But if you have Chala D'Rabbanan, you can give it to Kol Kohen Shirtzeh. You can even give it to a Kohen who's an Am Haaretz, who you know doesn't even know the dinim of Truma V'Taira. So what do you see from there? That if the issue is only a D'Rabbanan, and over here the actual Achila of this Truma and all of its dinim are only D'Rabbanan, we don't make a gezeira that maybe if you put it on the table, it'll come to be eaten by a czar. I mean, that's going one bridge too far. And therefore, the same thing should be true over here. If, as you are claiming, says Rav Yosef, that this din of oath would only be a derabbanan, and that therefore it could be going out liba to Rabbi Akiva, how do you explain the fact that we make a gezeira even on chicken, not to put chicken on the same eating table as a cheese casserole? Doesn't make sense. Amalei Abaye, no siree. I don't see that your proof about Truma has anything to do with the issue. Why? Because, look, had you told me a case, and I'll tell you what case would be similar to the case in our Mishnah of chicken. Had you given me a case of people who are in Eretz Yisrael, and they brought along Truma from Chutz La'aretz with them, and you would tell me that even in Eretz Yisrael, where there is Truma D'Oraita that's around and available, that even in Eretz Yisrael, there would be no problem of serving the Truma of Chutz La'aretz on the same table, because in there, you've got a serious problem. Since if we allow Truma on the table with a czar, people are not going to easily be mechalek between Truma of Chutz La'aretz and Truma of Eretz Yisrael, both of which are in the refrigerator. Because we're in Eretz Yisrael, we have both of those Trumas handy. So if you would tell me that even in a case like that, where Ika L'Migzar Mishum Chalata Aretz D'Oraita, where there a gezera would make sense because actually, if you're going to be bringing up one kind of truma, you may easily bring up both kinds of truma. That would be similar to our case, where you're telling me, don't bring up chicken, and you're saying, well, that's unreasonable, is it? I mean, if you bring up chicken, doesn't meat casserole often come up with chicken? So therefore, if we would be mater chicken, we would be mater meat, as opposed to in Chutz La'aretz, if we're mater chalas Chutz La'aretz, we're not being mater anything else, because there isn't anything else. So if you want to have an equivalent case, you'd have to talk about a case where there is something else. There's both chicken and meat, meaning, in our case, there's both chalas Chutz La'aretz and chalas Eretz Yisrael. And you would tell me, nonetheless, we don't make a gezera. Now that would impress me. And then I would say, you know what? You're right. In cases like this, there's no way we would make a gezera la gezera. And therefore, it must be that this is a D'Oraita, not a D'Rabbanan. But you haven't brought me a case like that, my dear sir. You brought me a case where we're not going to make a gezera for a gezera where there's no chance of its touching on the D'Oraita. There is no Chalas Eretz Yisrael. So why would I make a gezera la gezera? That I appreciate. But in this case, the very fact that both chicken and meat are equally available, and you would just as easily bring up a meat casserole as a chicken casserole. So there, I would say, look, people are not going to be able to be mechalek. We're going to have to make a gezeira. Don't bring up cheese casseroles on the table, and then come up and bring even chicken. So therefore, it's not similar at all. So had we found a case where you were in Eretz Yisrael and you had the Truma of Eretz Yisrael and nonetheless lo gazrinan, then I would be very impressed and I would say, well, he just proved to me, ika lemishmamina, I would see from there that our Mishnah must be D'Oraita. But the reason that we don't make a gezer in Chutz La'aretz is because there's nothing to make a gezeira about, for God's sake. There isn't any truma that's a D'Oraita. So why would we make a gezeira? What does it have to do with here? Where if we allow chicken, the next thing you know is you got a meat casserole with the chicken, with the cheese. Hello, Chutzlaretz. You bring the Araya from the fact that in Chutzlaretz you can have a guy sitting at the table who's not a Kohen? That's Mishum Deleka Omingzar. There's nothing to make a Gezerah about. It's an entirely different situation. So I still maintain there's no Gezerah Le Gezerah in that case. I understand. But in a case like this, Avalhacha, Isharita Leila Suke Ofu Gvina, in this case, if once you allow the guy to bring up a chicken casserole, what's going to prevent him from bringing up a cholent? I mean, you really think you can draw a line between cholent and chicken casserole? So because of that, ati lasuki basaru gvina. And then he would be eating basar v'chalav d'oraita. So in a case like this, it still makes sense to say that even if it's a drabanan and it's going aliva de Rebbe Akiva, we would still make this gezera and we would not view it as a gezera le gezera because it's almost as if the two things are the same vis-a-vis the gezera. Makiflo Rav Sheshes, I must be missing something here, says Rav Sheshes. Everybody's talking about this problem as if they're a bunch of American consumers. You know, well, you can't have chicken on the table. What if you eat the chicken together with the milk? Hey, I got news for you, friends. You're allowed to eat chicken and milk. You're allowed to eat meat and milk. What are we talking about over here? Now, what's going to happen? You're going to take a little bit of chicken and have a drink of a milkshake with it. So what? I mean, you're not supposed to do that lechatchila, but if you did it, I mean, this is so terrible. Oh my God, they may have a milkshake with their chicken. No, 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 no. Things could be worse in the world. That was only itself a gezeirah derabanan. And therefore, if you didn't do it on purpose, you had no desire, plan of any kind to violate a derabanan, you didn't do anything wrong. So I don't understand what the big deal is over here. This is not only a gezeirah le gezeirah, it's a gezeirah le gezeirah le gezeirah le gezeirah. I mean, what are we talking about? Tzonein v'tzonein. So what do you mean, don't bring chicken on a table that's got a piece of cheese? That doesn't make any sense. Maskev lo Rav Sheshes. Even if it were a deraisa, it would still only be a derabanan. So what are we talking about? So tzonein v'tzoneinu. And there would be no iser deraisa of ever eating meat and cheese if they weren't cooked together. It only says in the Torah, lo tivashel, don't cook it together. And the extra lo tivashel is don't eat that which you did cook together. But in this case, where would I come to cook it together? I'm simply putting things on the table. So in what sense could you possibly learn that this would be a reasonable gezeira? I don't care how you're learning. I don't care if you're learning like Abaye. I don't care if you're learning like Rabbi Yosef. The bottom line is that you're trying to tell me that this is going to be shayach to d'oraita, and I don't see any kind of d'oraita that's possible. Because even if you want to say, well, you may end up bringing meat because you're bringing milk, even if you brought the meat itself, forget about the chicken. So if you had meat with a milkshake, what's the big problem? I don't understand what we're talking about over here. Omar Abaye, well, you're right, you're right. But you know what? It must be that the Gezerah is not about bringing up cold things and then eating a cold piece of chicken or meat with your milkshake. The actual problem over here is that we're worried Gezerah Shema Yale Be'ilfis Roteach. I mean, how do we know that you won't bring up this chicken or the possible meat in like a boiling hot pot, you know? And then you're going to end up mixing one with the other. And if you brought it up in this ilfis, you took it right off of the stove and put it in a serving platter, which is very hot. It's got boiling hot meat in it. And therefore, you would end up being over on a d'oraita maybe. Hey, I got news for you. If you took something and put it into an ilfis, it's still only a klisheni because it cooked on the oven or on the stove. And now you're putting it into the serving platter, ilfis. And that is a cliché-y. And the general rule is, as Gavi is about to magically inscribe, cliché-y enome vashel. Now, this is true, Lagabe. It's true that this was a Gavi rule back in Masechet Shabbat, but it's also a Gavi rule in terms of Pasuk B'cholov. A cliché-y is simply not bishel in the sense of lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. And therefore, if we've only got a cliché-y over here, what's the problem? Well, you're right. The real problem is Gezera Shemayala Bilfas Risha. I see that you guys don't know anything about Corningware. You put the Corningware in the oven and you bring it up to the table and it looks like a serving dish. That's the whole point of Corningware. When was this Mishnah written anyway? So because of that, the real chashash is you're going to take this beautiful casserole straight out of the oven, put it in its lovely aluminum holder, put it down on the table. Next thing you know, you're going to be cooking in an ilfas rishon that was actually the kli rishon that was cooked in the oven. And some of your cheese is going to go, oh my God, I can just imagine this. A beautiful cheese meat casserole right there on your Shabbos table instead of your cholent. A disaster. And so because of that, you can see that we could definitely come to a serious problem over here. And therefore, we answered it. So this serves as our basic introduction to the circuit. So we now know that we have a machloket about whether oath is a diraita or a drabonan. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's a drabonan. We've managed to make the Mishnah work out either according to Rabbi Akiva, and we've explained why we would still be concerned, and it wouldn't be a gzera le gzera, we would still be concerned by the problem of a possible diraita, because in allowing a chicken casserole straight out of the oven, you would end up having a meat casserole straight out of the oven. And there, indeed, you would come to a diraita. And we have not been able to show that we don't make a gzera le gzera in cases where there is a possibility of coming to an iser diraita. So now, moving on to what appears to be a continuation of the Mishnah that we just had, except that now we find out that things are not so simple, and that really this question of allowing things on the same table turns out to be a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So the Mishnah continues. Ha'of ole imagmina la'shulchan ve'eino ne'echal. You are allowed to bring chicken onto the same table together with that cheese casserole, but you're not allowed to eat it together with the cheese casserole. So in other words, Beit Shammai is clearly saying that it's only a derabbanan, and because of that, there is no gezera le gezera. He felt that since the whole iser is only drabbanan in the first place, we never made this iser of actually putting it on the same table. Whereas Beit Hillel lomrim, lo le v'lo ne'achal. You can't eat it with your cheese casserole, and you can't bring it up to the table either. As far as, does that mean your iser mid drabbanan? Okay. That depends on the machlokas about how to understand the Mishnah. If it can be understood even as a drabbanan, so this might be a drabbanan. Now, when you say that there's a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, it's a very strange machlokas because, as you know, almost every place that we have a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, it's Beit Shammai who goes l'chumra and Beit Hillel who goes l'kula. But as Rav Yosef points out, zo mikulei Beit Shammai umichumrei Beit Hillel. Now, there does not seem to be any added information in what it is that Rav Yosef said. Obviously, that's the case. I mean, if Rav Yosef was trying to reverse it, you know, that would be understandable that he would use that language. But he's actually backing the gears that we just had. So what's the point of mentioning Rabbi Yossi? The Gemara is going to have to explain that. Now, says the Mishnah, when we say don't bring it up on the table, what does that mean? You've got a kitchen counter. Can you put the chicken and the cheese casserole next to each other on the kitchen counter or not? Be'ezer shulchan amru. We're only talking about the table, not the counter. B'shulchan she'ochel alav. We're talking about the table that is used for eating. There we've got a problem of people, while they're eating, doing the kind of things that they wouldn't be thinking about as part of their food, extending their hand into the cheese casserole, and therefore we're worried about it. But if you're talking about the counter, the shulchan she'sider alav et ha'tafshil, it's the counter or a serving buffet where you actually are just setting up the various dishes. There's no problem with that. No tein zeh b'tzad zeh, they no choshesh. So as long as they're not actually coming into contact with each other, and as long as people are not eating directly from it, so that they may accidentally put in their fork, their spoon that came from one into the other one, as long as that's not the issue, we are definitely not making this to be zera. Now, what is the point of Rabbi Yosi? That's the first striking thing. It's clear to anybody that the Mishnah is presenting Beit Shammai as a kula. That you're allowed to put the chicken on the same table, and Beis Hillel says, no, you're not. So what's Rabbi Yosi adding? Rabbi Yosi, Aina Tana Kama. All he's doing is repeating what we already know. Now, you can't tell me that what Rabbi Yosi meant to say is, no, you guys got it wrong. It is not only a matter of Beit Shammai Lakula to allow you to bring the chicken casserole on the table. Beit Shammai held you're allowed to eat the chicken casserole with the cheese. Maybe that's what Rabbi Yosi is saying. And he meant to say that according to Beit Shammai, this is a total 100% kula. There's no iser of basar b'cholav whatsoever on chicken. Maybe that's what Beit Shammai was saying. So since the Tana Kama only mentioned you could bring it on the table. So the Kama Tana Kama b'ha'ala'a kamiflagei, but b'achila lo pligei. So according to the Tana Kama, obviously, Rabbi Beit Shammai was only saying that you're allowed to bring it up, but eino ne'achal. Comes along Rabbi Yosi and say, no, you've got it wrong. Omale Rabbi Yosi, that's gufa machlokas. Achila gufa mikule Beit Shammai umichumre Beit Hillel. The machlokas actually is whether you're allowed to eat chicken with milkshake, or better yet, chicken casserole with cheese casserole, and even cook them together. And there's no iser b'sar b'cholav whatever, not the Araita, and not the Rabbanan when it comes to chicken. Now you could see that big smile on Mo Willie's face because he's been thinking about having that kind of chicken cheese casserole for years, never was able to find any kind of heter, and he's smiling from ear to ear. The last time he had that stuff was in the bagel shop. And so, Mickey.
About the cook got confused with this.
Yeah, the cook did get confused, but that was with the pot, not with the pot. So, yes, indeed. Those were happy days. Anyway, so, Hotel California. The thing is, that would be a respectable pshat in the Mishnah, but it can't be true. Because we have another Mishnah, an idiot, that says beferish, that according to Rabbi Yosi, Beit Shammai is not being matir achila. He's only being matir halal ha'shulchan. Because it says in that Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi omer, shisha dvarim mikulei Beit Shammai umichumrei Beit Hillel. Now that is certainly not the case. There's way more than six cases. But there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yosi and the other Chachamim about these particular six cases that are discussed there, about whether they got it right or whether it's the other way around. Rabbi Yosi claimed that indeed this is one of those six cases that we disagree about, and that is a of ole magmina la shulchan. But note, that the way that Reb Yossi himself brings the kula is eino ne'echal. It's only ole on the same table. But he himself absolutely precludes any kind of pshat that would be saying that according to Beit Shammai, you're allowed to actually eat it. He never said that. He only said ofola lagrina. And that's divrei Beit Shammai, but it's eino ne'echal. And Beit Hillel says, no, neither. Lo ole velo ne'echal. Anyway, so that means that Reb Yossi really is not adding a single piece of information to what we already know. So why is he mentioned at all? I don't understand. No, the point is, gentlemen, you need to know that the Mishnah is going like Reb Yossi. Elohakamashwa. Who is the Tana here that says that Beit Shammai are matir, putting it on the same table, and Beis Hillel Aser, that is Reb Yossi. So what happened over here is that the Mishnah was originally said as a Stam Mishnah. The problem is that afterwards they realized that this Mishnah, as stated, is actually one of Reb Yossi's cases of the six places where he holds this is Beit Shammai Lekula. And the Mishnah had originally been taught as a Stam Mishnah, whereas in reality, it was Reb Yossi's Shita. So in order to be mitakein the Mishnah, now, of course, you'll say to be mitakein the Mishnah, just change the Mishnah to read at the beginning. Reb Yossi Omer, Beit Shammai Omrim, Beit Hillel Omrim. Why do you first say Beit Shammai Omrim, Beit Hillel Omrim, and then you say, Omer Reb Yossi Zemikulei? I'll tell you why. Because remember that we have a klal, which is an old Gavi klal, which is read as sigizunt. I mean, is read as the rule that Mishnah lo zaza mimikoma. Mishnah lo zaza mimikoma means once a Mishnah has been taught, we do not change the Mishnah, because that causes immense confusion in the way that people remember it for generations. This could be confusing. But what we will do is we will add a Mishnah Achrona. So what we did is we first maintained the original Girsa about Beit Shammai Omri, Beit Hillel Omri, and then to make it clear who is the man di Omar who is saying this, Reb Yossi Omer, this is Mikulei Beit Shammai, Umichumri Beit Hillel, and that way it clarifies it. So you'll say, what's the big deal? Why is it so important for us to let people know that this was said by Reb Yossi? If you were willing to state it as a Stam Mishnah, that means that you paskin that way. So why bother telling us it's Reb Yossi? That's because Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omro, this teaches us that he's maybe, it doesn't teach us, but the original Mishnah that says it teaches us in Pirkei Avos says that we learn it from Esther. Mevigu la lolam, shenemar vatomer Esther lamelach b'shem Mordechai, and that ended up actually putting into motion the whole concatenation of events that ended up with the geula and the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, and it was all because Manaseh leMordechai Azeh. That was the question. So now, the question actually we haven't spoken about is the issue of eating meat and milk that has not been cooked together, eating them together, or eating them one after the other. That's the very practical situation that comes up all the time. So far we've only discussed eating them together as a gezerah, because we understand that we're only usher in cooking them together and then eating something that had been cooked together. We never spoke about what are the dinim about eating them together cold or one after the other. What would be the din there? And then the question is, well, if the oaf, the chicken, was only a derabbanan, I mean, are we going to make this like takana that you shouldn't eat them together cold? It's cold. That's Mo Willie's answer all the time. What, the donut? That donut was cold. So therefore, it should be kosher anyway. And over here, since it's cold, what would be the issue of eating them together? It's certainly one after the other. You're going to tell me I got to wait between eating chicken, which is only usher to eat min rabbanan, when it's been cooked? I mean, that's ridiculous. How many steps away can you go? Certainly not 6 hours worth of steps. That's ridiculous, no? So let's see how that happens. So it starts off with the Braita of Agra. Agra was Reb Abba's father-in-law. So Agra chamud Reb Abba, he brought a Braita. And the Braita said, Of ugvina nechalin ba'apikoren. Apikoren means that just freely, hefkerut. So you can eat of chicken and cheese, one right after the other. You don't have to worry about anything. Enjoy yourself. Now, even though the Braita didn't explain what precisely was meant by the word ba'apikoren, Agra himself, who brought the Braita, explained what the Lashon of the Braita is. Hu tani la v'hu amar la. So he said over the Braita, and he was befarish the Braita, when we say ba'apikoren, we mean you don't need to wash your hands between eating chicken and cheese, and you don't need to clean out your mouth and brush your teeth between chicken and cheese. You can just go ahead and eat one after the other, however you like. That's what apikoren actually means. So, whereas if you were talking about meat, well, we're going to see, when it comes to meat, if you want to eat one after the other, you would have to wash your hands and you would have to brush your teeth. When it comes to chicken, it's eaten by apikoren. So here was a maisa where Reb Yitzchak, Bereder of Mesharshia, came to Reb Ashi's home, and they bring him cheese. So he eats the cheese, and then they brought him meat, and he eats the meat without washing his hands. And they were pretty shocked. How did you not wash your hands? Now, obviously, he had brushed his teeth. And when I say brush his teeth, I don't mean you take a brush and some toothpaste. The dinim of cleaning out your mouth between eating one and the other is chewing some kind of solid substance like a cracker or something in between them, and that way rubbing off whatever type of fat deposit there would be in your mouth from the cheese that you had originally eaten. That he did, but he did not wash his hands. So they asked him, actually, Reb Yitzchak Bereder of Mesharshia, when he was visiting, so the family asked him, Omar Lei, but didn't Agra Chamud Rebbe Abba say that you can only eat chicken and cheese without washing your hands, that it's Nechal Vapikoren? Doesn't that imply that it's only chicken and cheese that we're going to be making on? Ofu Gvina, maybe you can get away with that, but Basaru Gvina? Nobody ever said that you're allowed to eat basar and gvina, and you're going ahead and eating basar and gvina without washing your hands. Why? Amar lehu, hani mili belailia. This din of needing to wash your hands is true when it comes to meat, but it's only true at night when you don't have the means to examine your hands closely and see whether there's any deposit and dirt on your hands. But this is daytime, and in the daytime, I can look at my hands, and I can see that they were kept completely clean, and therefore, I don't need to wash them off. So if you've got a light, so then there's no need to wash. Okay. Now, luckily, my son, many people paskin that you should not do this, and that you should wash your hands because you don't really get to see very clearly if there's some kind of invisible fat on your hands. Okay, so lemaisa, we end up in makbid on this. Now, if you were eating with utensils and your hands never come into contact with the food at all, then for sure there's no din to have to wash off your hands. Tanya, Beit Shammai Omri, if you ate cheese, you have to be mikaneach. Now, mikaneach means you're going to have to eat some type of food that requires chewing before you're allowed to eat meat immediately after cheese.
That's what Rebbe referred to before as brushing the teeth.
Yes, I said that. When I say brushing the teeth, I don't mean it. I mean mikaneach, using some type of material to get everything off of your teeth. Whereas Beit Hillel says, you have to be mediach. You have to rinse out your mouth. Now, what exactly does that mean? Only mediach, only mikaneach? Are they arguing about what is more effective? Are they arguing about the order? What exactly are they arguing about? So my mikaneach, or my mediach? If you think that it means that according to Beit Shammai, you only do mikaneach. You just need to eat something, eat a cracker. But there's no need to rinsing it out because the rinse doesn't help. Beit Shammai is saying the only way you're going to get off residue is not with liquid. It's with a solid scouring. And how you do a solid scouring? By chewing something. But what good is going to use mouthwash? What good is that? It's not going to actually get off anything that's on your teeth. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, that actually rinsing is better than cleaning. But if you just chew a cracker, you're not going to get to all of the various places. Mashenkein, if you're actually using a mouthwash, so then you can get into everywhere. Is that what they're arguing about? So then let me ask you something. We know that Rabbi Zeira came and explained that whenever we use the lotion of mikaneach, ein kinuach peh ela bepat, the only way that you can really be cleaning your mouth is not by eating an apple, it's by eating bread. We'll be talking about that later. So if you eat bread after cheese, then you're going to be able to get rid of the meat, of the cheese that was left as a film. But who was he saying that according to? He's saying it only like Beit Shammai? I mean, we don't pass them like Beit Shammai. So if what Beit Shammai was saying was specifically the only thing you can do to wipe your mouth is to use a solid substance, then Rabbi Zeira, who's saying, and what I mean by that is bread, he would only be making a halacha that is according to Beit Shammai when we don't pass them like Beit Shammai. Come on, Beit Shammai, that doesn't make sense. Obviously, it was understood that that is not what the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was. Ella, it must be that Beit Shammai was saying, you can do kinuach, but you don't need to also do a rinse if you did a chew. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, you must also do a rinse. No, that can't be the pshat. Because then we've got another case, which is a chumrah of Beit Hillel, who's saying that you need both kinuach and mediach. And Beit Hillel, Shammai is saying, no, you only need the actual mikaneach. But it doesn't list this chumrah of Beit Hillel anywhere as being one of the chumrah of Beit Hillel. I mean, if this were another occasion of a Chomer Beit Hillel and a Kula Beit Shammai, it would be listed in those lists. I mean, it's about, we've been very interested in the Machlokas and a Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel when it comes to these Inyanim, you know? So it can't be that that's the Machlokas either. Because then, if it's Bikula Beit Shammai and Chomer Beit Hillel, it's Nayuka Bikula Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Why does it not appear in any of the lists that we had? An idiot, we have all those lists, and we had the discussion of Rabbi Yossi and so on. How come nobody mentions this? So that can't be what it means either. So what does it mean? Ella must mean that Beit Shammai was talking about one aspect of what you need to do, and Beit Hillel was talking about another aspect of what you need to do, and they weren't arguing at all. So Beit Shammai Omrim, you got to make sure that you use some kind of solid food if you ate cheese before you're going to go ahead and do a meat meal. But you also, of course, have to rinse out your mouth. And Beit Hillel Omrim, Don't forget, says Beit Hillel, if you want to eat meat after you ate cheese, you're going to need to actually use mouthwash. And you're going to have to be medias. You got to rinse your mouth. But of course, my colleagues here are absolutely correct. Of course, mu'adin l'mikaneas. They're not arguing at all. And in fact, mar omar chada, umar omar chada, v'lo pligei. There's really no machloket here at all. And in fact, everybody agrees you need both kinuach and hatocha in order to make your mouth prepared to eat the other, after the cheese, to eat the meat or the chicken. Now, the problem is, we have not yet addressed the other way around here. We've talked about eating cheese and then eating the chicken or then eating the meat. So we learned that the chicken could be Baf Kurin, but the meat cannot be Baf Kurin. And we talked about when we go L'Chumra, even in the daytime, because maybe we might not see it, the difference between the daytime and the nighttime. We talked about the D'oraita, whether the D'oraita includes Oaf at all. We talked about the D'oraita, that it includes, would include a Kli Sheni, or only a Kli Rishon, if we're talking about meat. We talked about the dinim of Gezeira le Gezeira in general, whether it was Nogea, the halachas of Chalas Chutz La'aretz, or whether it was Nogea putting Oaf and Gvinah on the same table, and what the differences are in what is considered to be a Gezeira le Gezeira, which doesn't have a chance of going to a D'oraita, or a Gezeira le Gezeira where there are Isur D'oraita that would be available in the same area, such as somebody who brought Chalas Chutz La'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, or somebody who's got chicken in a place where obviously he could equally well have had meat. We've spoken about that. But we haven't spoken about the other way around at all, you'll note. We haven't talked about eating a piece of meat and then coming along to eat a piece of cheese. And that's interesting. Why would there be a difference? All of that remains still in the exciting field before us. And Richie did not make the daf because he came home at 3 o'clock in the morning. At least if he's lucky, he came home at 3 o'clock in the morning. We at least wanted to make sure that he's safe and sound and will be with us tomorrow, but we'll have to get in touch with him separately. So meanwhile, I shall wish you all a wonderful, delicious day of cheese casseroles, lots of chicken, plenty of protein. Just make sure you've got enough crackers. We'll have to see what type of crackers tomorrow. Would rice crackers help? Would Kusmin crackers help? Is it have to be wheat cracker? Or might it also be able to be barley cracker? Or how about those crackers with seven types of grain in one? Would that satisfy the requirements? Or perhaps a brilliant marketing plan would be special crackers for use between eating cheese and eating meat. And that absolute, especially if we got this heksher, that would be the best possible heksher. We could have entire stores just selling those crackers, and that would capture the entire audience in many places, and we could sell everything at 20% increase because we've got those crackers. Just think about the opportunities granted by the kashrus market, and you'll see that learning kolabasar may be very profitable indeed. So I'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow.
Yes. Rebbe, we had Barnea High School. Before there was Barnea's neighborhood. Rebbe's the sweet Sparty kid. When we, I don't know if it was David Solomon, somebody made a tuna cast, a tuna melt. When he saw it, it's eating.
Dimon Ranan said, what are you doing? It's Trave.
Right.
No way, right. My eighth grade.
Yeah, Trave. Yes, we'll get to the Minhag Sfaradim coming up.
Okay. Maybe it's just cute, but the message of Esther to the Melech was what not to put on the king's table. Right? It was to prevent the poison things being served at the table. We're talking here about what can come up at the table. Maybe it's just cute, but...
This is cute? Okay.
Does everybody see some meaning in it? Is it meaningful? Is it a meaningful connection?
No, but I don't find it very cute either.
Ah.
Okay. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Looking forward to Besorah Tovot. Kol Tov. Kol Tov.